Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I grew up in a small rural community where everyone knows everyone's family names. Everyone knows your parents and which high school you went to. Everyone knows everyone. And I'm always amazed at when I go home how there are people that I run into who know so much about me and about what I'm currently doing that I'm just a little shocked at sometimes. And of course, it's my mom spreading the word all the time. You know, we know how small towns work. We know who's in the know, what's important and what's not. We've had an experience of where hard work seems a little more common, pitching in to help a neighbor in need, politeness. And we also know that living in a small town is not always perfect either. We know how small towns work. Well, Jesus knows about small towns too. He grew up in Nazareth. It was a quaint little town set on a ridge with a couple of hundred people. Everyone knows him. Everyone knows his parents. Everyone knows what kind of work he does. He's Joseph and Mary's kid, the carpenter's son. And in our reading this morning, Jesus goes to his hometown synagogue, just like he usually did, and he reads the following from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolls up the scroll, hands it back to the attendant. Everyone's staring at him. He sits down and he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All that you just heard, that's about me. Everyone loves his gracious words. They speak well of him, our famous hometown kid, and they're marveling. But then the gossip and the rumor start up. "Hey, isn't this Joseph's son?" "Oh yeah, you know Joseph, right?" "Oh yeah. You know, I heard that Jesus has been making quite a name for himself out in Capernaum. Well, why doesn't he do any miracles around here if he's so great, huh?" "Yeah." And then Jesus does something that really offends them. Says, "The reason why I'm not doing miracles here in Nazareth is because you don't really believe what the scriptures say about me." And they stumbled over him. They stumbled over his upbringing. They stumbled over his humble appearance. They stumbled over his adoptive father, Joseph, although they did not know that. And so Jesus basically says, "The reason why I don't do any miracles around here is because they wouldn't do any good. They wouldn't make you believe." And they get so angry. Remember, as Nazareth is set upon this ridge, that they're about ready to throw Jesus off a cliff. See, what happened here with the people of Nazareth? Well, they were so familiar with Jesus' family, his upbringing, everything else, that they neglected to listen to his words. They thought that they knew him all too well, and as a result, they didn't know him at all. They didn't believe who he really was. Not the son of Joseph, but the son of God. Now, it may sound weird, but there is a danger that we can get so familiar with the image of Jesus that we end up not knowing him at all. It happens when we think we have him all figured out. You say, oh yeah, I know Jesus. That whole gospel stuff. Heard it all before. Preacher just says the same thing every Sunday. Same old stuff. I hear about Jesus doing great things for other people. Why doesn't he do something special and new in my life? Now, don't get me wrong. Desiring to know Jesus and being familiar with him is good. But what we're talking about here is the kind of familiarity that thinks it has Jesus all figured out. It's the kind of familiarity that boxes Jesus into this superficial view that misses the depth of who he is. If this happens, then we start thinking that what Jesus can and can't do, what he should and should not do according to our ideas. Just as when we do this to everyday people, right? When we box them into our vision of who we think they are, we make them flat, boxed-in people, incapable of being anything else in our minds. Well, we can do the same thing to Jesus, just like the people of Nazareth did. Right? Here are some examples. Jesus is the one who saves soul, but he does not care about my body or my health. Jesus is here to make me feel good about myself and make me happy. Jesus is just a good moral teacher who teaches us how to be good moral people. And it goes on and on. The fact is the same in that we box Jesus into this idea of who we think he should be. When in reality, we're actually boxing him out of our lives. But Jesus cannot be boxed in or mastered. He's the Son of God. Everyone thought that they knew what could come out of this small town of Nazareth. And in our reading this morning, the people of Nazareth seem to assume the answer to that question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, we know the answer. Jesus is more than Joseph's adopted son. He is the holy Son of God. He is the anointed one. He's the one on whom the Spirit rests. He's the chosen Son of God with whom he is well pleased. And yet this holy one humbled himself. He wasn't born in a palace where people waited on him hand and foot. But he was born in a small rural community, learned to become a carpenter, where he worked and he served others. He continually served and humbled himself in love of the world's outcast and downtrodden. He continually served other people. He did not come to be served, but to serve. And to lay down his life. And that is just what he did. As he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross for us. And he has been raised from the dead to never die again. God is doing something amazing here in Jesus. Through him humbling himself, he has come to us in order to give us his life, to give us his forgiveness, to give us salvation in him. Right? And so when he's reading from Isaiah 61, let's just walk through that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Jesus is the chosen one. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. He is God in the flesh. Fully God and fully man come to us. Continuing, to proclaim good news to the poor. Jesus brings good news for people who are poor in all ways. And he makes us rich in the lavish grace of God. As he reads, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. He announces that all those powers that hang over people's lives, like sin and death and the power of the devil, have been defeated. They have no power. And recovering sight to the blind. He literally made that happen. And he does it spiritually too, as he gives you and me the sight to see that he is the Savior. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He's already defeated the forces against us. He cast out demons, and he no longer lets his people sit in those prisons of the past. He sets you free. He has forgiven you and given you life. And finally, he reads, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He proclaims the time when the Lord shall restore the whole world. And that is in him. All these things happen when the word of God is proclaimed and fulfilled. And that happens in your midst. Every Sunday that you hear the word, God is proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor upon you. No matter how humble it may look, no matter how humble the preacher looks, where are the miracles? Well, the greatest miracle is that you believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And it happens whenever you receive his word and the Holy Spirit works faith in you. You are drawn into a relationship with the true Jesus. Not a superficial appearance of Jesus, but the real Jesus, who is the Word of God made flesh. It's a relationship with this Jesus that never ends, and one that continues to grow into eternity. So we'll never have Jesus all figured out, but you really wouldn't want that Jesus anyway, because he would be the Jesus of your own making. You want the real thing, and you have the real thing. The Son of God who loves you so much that he would die for you. The Son of God who calls you his own in baptism. The Son of God who brings forgiveness and the eternity of the Lord's favor to you. Amen.